Penn State wrestling racks up another regular season and postseason Big Ten title. I'm Thomas Frank Carr, wrestling reporter Greg Pickle here. We're talking about the Nittany Lions' run through the Big Ten tournament and their dominating win at the tournament. So, Greg, welcome to the show. You have covered this from the very beginning. You never want to say these things are never in doubt, you know, because there's always the opportunity for something to happen. But this is what you predicted coming into the show last week. So I guess what's your big takeaway from the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, me and everybody else to some extent. I'm not sure I saw Penn State being as dominant as it was. It set a school record for points at the Big Ten tournament with 170.5. For context, Michigan had 123.5. Nebraska had 118. Iowa had 110.5. Nobody else had more than 100. So Penn State was closer to 200, and then most schools were closer to 100, which tells you kind of a lot about how well Penn State performed at the Big Ten tournament without Carter Starace, the three-time All-American, three-time NCAA champ at 174 pounds. If you've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, there were some options for him in terms of what he was going to do at Big Tens. And if you're just catching up or if it confuses you a little bit, I'm just going to break that down real quick, do a little bit of a rewind. So when he hurt his knee against Edinburgh and had to be helped off the mat, obviously his postseason became a question mark. And so Penn State had some options with some time, about a week and a half, to let him heal. The first, of course, would be the preferred one for athlete and coach, which is that he's fully healed or close enough to it to compete regularly throughout the tournament and go as far as he can, which, of course, is the number one ranked wrestler in the country, would have been to the finals where he would have won it. Option two was to get him through a couple of championship bracket matches while competing, and then if they decided that it was in their best case interest to, you know, maybe get to the semifinals and medically forfeit there, or get to the finals and medically forfeit there, what have you, that was option two. And then option three is what ended up playing out, which is Carter Starace stepped on the mat for 1 second in his quarterfinal bout, did so for 1 second in his consolation bracket bout, went 0-2 at the tournament, and was out, you know, because it's a double elimination tournament. So he now has another week and a half to prepare. Cale Sanderson, speaking with reporters, Penn Live and some other outlets at Big Tens in College Park, Maryland, basically said his message to Carter and from the coaching staff and from him was, hey, look, trust me, we need you in 2 weeks. You heard Cale Sanderson, T. Frank, say last week that their focus is on nationals and being your best at nationals and not letting anyone or anything impact that. So you put all those things together, and that's how we end up here, where Carter Starace, clearly frustrated that he did not get the chance to compete at Big Tens. Clearly, he and the coaching staff probably thought differently. I think you can read the context clues and figure that out. Yeah. About where he thought he was compared to where they thought he was and what the risk reward was, if you will. So frustrated, but he kind of cleared everything up on Monday and said that his next chapter is going to be in Kansas City, Missouri. He has received an at-large bid as expected to compete at 174 pounds. And now the question just becomes, how healthy is he to go out there and do it? And what will that, you know, what will that look like? So we'll get into that later in the show. I know we got a lot of Big Tens to talk about, but that's the rewind. Yeah. There, kind of the big headline attention grabber, even though you could make the argument that the way Penn State and some of its individual wrestlers perform should have been more front and center. When you're a three-time national champ and there's questions about whether you can go for your fourth and become even more part of the sports history, it's always going to dominate the headlines.
I apologize if you mentioned this already, but we are recording this before the seeding comes out for the NCAA tournament. So we're going to be getting into that a lot next week in terms of our preview of a national championship run. So we'll be getting into that. Not on this show. We're going to be doing mostly what it here is a review of the Big Ten tournament. And let's start with the biggest surprise in your mind as far as who performed well enough to give Penn State such a dominating victory.
Yeah, so I mean, I think a couple of guys really, really impressed me at the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, like we talked about last week, it's not so much because they won, you know, that Penn State had five winners of title bouts and they had seven finalists overall. And just from a team perspective, it's not necessarily stunning. I know that obviously we're getting in the record school record territory here with some of these things. But, you know, when you looked at the way the bracket broke down, even without Starace, you could envision Penn State getting multiple or, you know, close to everyone into the finals. Of course, some guys were going to have a tougher path to do that than others. But, you know, let's start with Braden Davis. Again, if you've listened to the show, if you read our stories over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, he's, you know, been in a bit of a tough place throughout the month of February. He had a tremendous start to his time as the Penn State starter at 125 pounds. And the freshman maybe hit a little bit of a wall, maybe just ran into some competition he was not quite yet ready to face. But T. Frank, he beat four competitors at Big Ten. He beat Eric Barnett of Wisconsin in overtime, sudden victory, 8-7 in the quarters. He won a sudden victory two match, 5-2 over Michael DeAugustino of Michigan in the semis. And then he blew out Patrick McKee of Minnesota, 8-1 in the finals. The point totals, two things to jump out there. Number one, the poise. And he was a four-time state champ in Michigan at high school. So this is not any, not, you know, wrestling in big postseason environments is not anything new to him. But the poise to win two matches in sudden victory, and then also still have the energy and the motor left to be good to go for a decisive win in the finals is number one thing that impresses me. But number two, he's beating guys who are older than him in some cases by 3 or 4 years. And I think one, maybe even was five. And if you were watching the Big Ten Network coverage, that fact was not lost on him. In his post-match interview after he won the Big Ten title, his first at Penn State, I'm paraphrasing here, but more or less said, I don't really care how much older than me they are. I don't care how much more experience they have. You know, I came here ready to compete and win. And to his credit, he did. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if people were picking him to win a Big Ten title. I think that, like we talked about last week, 125 in the Big Ten and across the country is such a hard to predict landscape that anything was possible. But the way he went about doing it really impressed me in College Park.
And this was an area where Penn State, even I think traditionally, has struggled to get competitors into that final bout, right? This is right. The first time they've won that particular weight class in a long time, right?
Yeah, so you go back to Nico Megalutis when he was here, and they've had some, you know, a couple guys compete well there, and of course, plenty of strong wrestlers who have not necessarily had the postseason results that people expected them to have. But yeah, you know, for all of the Penn State success on the wrestling mat during the Cale Sanderson era, at least lately, 125 has been the one spot with question marks. And obviously, Penn State has long rolled through those upper weights, but 125 was, whether they brought in freshmen, whether they brought in transfers, whether they redshirted the guy to get him ready for the second year, you just didn't know. And you didn't know this year. Let's be honest. I saw someone on social media make a great point and said, if you would have talked to me in October, and if you go back to our October shows, T. Frank, I think we probably had this conversation, but if you would have said back then Penn State was going to win a Big Ten title at 125 pounds, you would have said, wow, Robbie Howard, finally healthy over the injuries that he's had, wrestled the way everyone thought he could, back to his, form at an earlier time in his Penn State career. And of course, that's not what happened. Braden Davis ended up winning that job and went on a tear. Like I said, hit some roadblocks in February, but powered through those and came to March and is 1-for-1 in postseason tournaments in terms of winning. So we'll see how he does at Nationals.
Where do you want to go next in our recap of the championship here?
Yeah, I'm going to skip around by weight classes here, kind of go with the positive and then maybe back to some of the not as positive. But Mitchell Messenbrink next on my list. Speaking of things we were talking about in October differently than we're talking about now, I think Mitchell Messenbrink, the redshirt freshman for Penn State, who has just kind of impressed everyone across the country with the way he has performed, the way he wins, the gas tank he has, the ability to shoot and score that he has. I mean, it's just been unbelievably impressive. And, you know, this was a chance finally for him to meet Dean Hamidi of Wisconsin, the number one ranked wrestler in the Big Ten at this weight class, 165, all season long. The two teams did not meet during the dual meet season, so there was no chance to match these guys up. And, you know, when Mitchell Messenbrink got down in this match, I'm going to check on the time here just to make sure I got it right, but let me see here. He was down 9-2. It was 9-2 early, very early. And that was against Caliendo. He came back. And then when he wrestled Hamidi, that was a fiery match too. He ended up winning that bout. I'm sorry, I got those two mixed up. Hamidi, he was down to 9-2, ends up firing back to win it 13-11. He beat Caliendo by technical fall, of course. But yeah, he stormed back in a way that I'm not sure anyone saw coming. But let's not forget, Cale Sanderson said if they saw this, he said earlier this year that if they saw this version of the guy that he is in high school, they would have been on his front lawn camping out Jim Harbaugh style, trying to get him to Penn State. So he went to Cal Baptist for a year, redshirted there, and then comes to Penn State, and it's just been extraordinary. I think that the sign of, who the talk of the town, so to speak, is when you talk to people who only follow Penn State wrestling as it gets closer to the postseason, watch Big Tens, watch NCAAs, and all the people I talk to, the first name they bring up, it's not the multi-time national champions. It's not the number one, the Greg Kirk Bleets of the world or things like that. It's always Mitchell Essenbrink, and it's because he's so fun to watch. And the comeback he had in the Big Ten finals to win, I think really tells you all you need to know about what kind of wrestler he is and how impressed the fan base is with him and what chances and what outlook he has for nationals.
All right. So what's next on the list of things that stood out to you during the Big Ten tournament for Penn State?
Yeah. So of course, again, talking about those number one seeds, Greg Kirkfleet, an impressive tournament for him. He won by technical fall, major decision, and then decision in the finals to win a Big Ten title. So he looked great. He's going to roll into the national tournament as the number one seed. And you look at some of the other, some other guys across the country that have a case, not necessarily that they'll get the number one seed. It's going to go to him, I'm fairly confident, but have a case for it. But I just don't see anyone beating him right now. I think he's wrestling the best he has ever wrestled during his time at Penn State. And then with Aaron Brooks, I mean, I think we take for granted that this guy has wrestled 184 his whole career, bumps up to 197, and everything's going exactly how it went at 184. And I know it doesn't sound like much of a jump, but it is. And he's facing guys he hasn't faced before. And all he does in this tournament is win the quarters by technical fall, the semis by major decision, and then the finals by technical fall. So really impressive stuff for him to continue rolling at this new weight. I think we all expected that to be the case, but I'm not sure we're giving enough appreciation to what he's doing at a new weight as in his final season at Penn State, going to go to the national tournament again as a favorite to win. So those two guys really impressed me. And I think that, again, when we talk about the upper weights at Penn State, even Bernie Truex had a good tournament. You know, we talked previously about how he was going to have to avenge that loss to Lenny Pinto of Nebraska to make it to the finals. And he did. And he beat him 4-2 by decision. And then he lost to Isaiah Salazar 8-1. He kind of got caught a little bit in sudden victory and dropped that finals match to finish second. But encouraging there, we had the superlative show, and the bold prediction was I thought he would finish higher than he has so far in his college career at NCAAs. And I still feel that way. It's a tough weight class, and he's going to have to obviously wrestle very well and make sure he gets his offense going. But encouraging signs for Bernie Truex, again, after being another guy who, whether it was illness or whether it was just running into some difficult opponents, was not, necessarily wrestling as well as some of his teammates were in the 2024 portion of the dual meet schedule at times, and seems ready, as Kale Sanderson said all along. He said Bernie Truex is going to be ready to roll when we get to nationals, and so far so good at the Big Ten tournament despite not winning at all.
So you mentioned the positives, going through things that were on the surprise on the good end. Didn't all go that way, though. So what were the other surprises to you?
Yeah, I think I used the word positives and negative earlier. I'm not sure negative is really fair, but it just, you said it better than I did, but just things that just didn't go as planned. So, coming into this tournament, I think in my predictions, I'm almost certain I don't have them in front of me, but I thought Bo Bartlett would win the Big Ten title at 141 pounds. He fell to Jesse Mendez 4-1 by decision. Those two met, of course, earlier this year during the dual meet season. The Buckeye gets the better of the Nittany Lion here. But, it was not a terrible tournament for Bartlett, but he didn't win any of his matches, and some against some guys ranked a little bit low, or much lower than him in some cases, a little bit in some others. But there were no big convincing wins, and I thought that, at least in the quarters and probably in the semis, we would see him accrue at least one of those, either by major decision or technical fall. And that wasn't the case. So getting his offense reestablished and his scoring ability reestablished is going to be a big focus for this coaching staff when it comes time for the national tournament next week. I don't think there's anything to worry about there. And then I think that's pretty much, we went through the whole lineup. So we went through most of the lineup anyway. Two other guys, if you don't mind, if I get to them quick. Let's start at 149, freshman Tyler Kasak in his first Big Ten tournament. Lost Oak Ridge, love it again, of Nebraska. No real surprise there, 4-0. I think that, you know, most expected that to be the case after he beat him in the dual meet, but encouraging sign. If you're looking for it, I thought he wrestled better against Lovett this time around than he did in the dual meet. So a step in the right direction there. And then him and Aaron Nagal, the 133-pound first-year Nittany Lion, I think the key to me was both of those guys lost in the semifinals, come back, win a consolation semifinal, and then pin their opponent in the third-place match. And it just goes to show you that the one of the reasons why Penn State has been so dominant, it's not just the guys that win national titles. It's that they pack on team points in the consolation bracket, almost always have. And this is a good example of that, where you're not obviously winning a title and earning the points in the team race or the top spot on the podium, but you can still impact the team in a tremendous way. Now, obviously, Penn State was so far ahead by the time those guys were in the third place match that, you know, their points were just gravy. But that's not always the case at NCAA. So I think the encouraging thing for me was two first-year Penn State wrestlers understood, and obviously they want to win and they want to pin their guys. That goes without saying. But they understood that, hey, look, this tournament's not over. I want to place as high as I can. And I also know that if I do it by fall, I'm going to really help the team. And I thought that was great to see. Not that those guys didn't show throughout the year that they were Penn State material and they get the way things work, but you never know what's going to happen once you suffer that first defeat at Big Tens, how the mentality may change, things like that. And those guys kept with the plan that Cale Sanderson's always had for this program.
You're listening to the Penn State Wrestling Show. You know that already if you're here and we're talking this long about Penn State Wrestling. You'd be surprised if you didn't know this is the Penn State Wrestling Show. But we're talking about the tournament and how things finished up for the Nittany Lions. Now we look ahead to the NCAA tournament. We started with Carter Storace. We're going to end here with Carter Storace because I know there's more things that you want to cover, I guess, with the projection going forward. So how do you want to end this particular conversation looking forward to that?
Yeah, so just, you know, just so no one's shocked, and if you've been reading the stuff over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, you've seen this before, but because of the fact there's three ways the rankings work. There's a selection committee, just like the other sports, and RPI, coaches ranking, and win percentage are the three components of this formula that make up the eventual seeding and bracket for the NCAA tournament. So Storace, by losing forfeiting for medical reasons two matches at Big Ten, that's going to hurt his winning percentage. So I don't expect to see him, despite being the best wrestler in the country at 174, I don't expect him to have the number one seed. I expect him to fall somewhere between numbers 3 through 6. So just in case you're listening to this and you might be reading something and say, wait a second, why is this guy not the number one seed? That's why. It's just kind of the way the formula and the math works. And, you know, we'll see what the committee does with all of that. And then, you know, from there, like you said, we'll get into next week, all of the seeding, all of the matchups that Penn State wrestlers have first and the top matches they're going to have to try and get to the finals and things like that. But we will have coverage of the seeds when they're released at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. You can follow us there to learn where Penn State's going to start its tournament. But hey, they got all 10 guys going to nationals, T. Frank. It doesn't always happen. They will be seated in a way that is, they may have one guy outside, Kasach maybe outside the window. I think that's the only one, possibly Nagal. But they might have, they're going to be seated darn near close that if they wrestled to seed, they would have 10 All-Americans, which of course is rare. And you got Carter Storace and Aaron Brooks going to be four-timers, which not too many teams can say they have two guys going to be four-timers. So a lot to look forward to. We're going to have you covered all of the rest of this week and next week on that front. Cale Sanderson will speak with reporters later this week, so just keep an eye out for that. But yeah, we'll see how this all shakes out. Obviously, Penn State heads to nationals with hopes of winning another title. And based on how the seeds go, that's the first part of the puzzle to try and figure out. I think they're a heavy favorite to do so, but maybe more so how much they could do it by.
So make sure you subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for that information. But also, if you want more conversation, more insight from Greg here on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel, where we're doing this every Friday, previewing all of Penn State wrestling this season. And we'll be doing this selectively throughout the rest of the year as things happen outside of just the pursuit of another national championship for this program. So look forward to that and look forward to the NCAA tournament. It all comes together in just a little bit. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. He's Greg Pickle. We will be back next time to preview that.